What's up, Breakthrough Success listeners? Mark Burdi here, helping people to decode YouTube. And one thing you do have to decode to grow your business is trust. How do we get people to trust you? How do we build valuable relationships and get those word of mouth referrals? All of that is going to be covered in this episode, where we are joined by Savvy Cards primary evangelist and also an individual who's heavily involved in business strategic relationships with key third-party technology and service providers. Our guest has appeared on a variety of podcasts and radio shows and did a TEDx talk on the trust economy. Our guest who joins us is none other than David Etheridge. David, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. Really appreciate you having me on as a guest.
David, I'm so happy to have you on Breakthrough Success and building trust. That is something we are all about on Breakthrough Success. That is something your business and everyone's business needs to be all about if you want it to be scalable, if you want it to grow and get clients. So what do you suggest as some of the ways that we can begin a relationship on the right foot? Because some people, they just rush in for the sale. Other people, they provide value but never add that hook. So how do we start a relationship on the right foot?
Well, I think one of the things that's really important to understand in business is that people recognize, right? They know when they're talking to you, if you're a salesperson for a company, that there's an expectation that you're eventually going to get around to the point that you're going to try to sell them your product, right? I mean, it's just logical. And I think you hit the nail on the head. There's sort of two different personas that we see pretty often that aren't successful. The first one is, the person who dives straight into the sale without building a relationship, like a relationship that's founded on some type of trust or some type of consultative giving, before they get to the point where they're making an ask, right? And you know, that kind of aggression rarely is going to work. It certainly is going to diminish the likelihood that you're going to build a positive relationship with somebody and get a sale done. The flip side of that are the people who, you know, they're all about, you know, creating value and giving and giving and giving, but they feel embarrassed, right, to actually get to the point where they say, look, I've got a product that I need to sell. I've got a quota I need to hit. And, they avoid the ask. So I think there's a pretty well established formula for how you do this, right? So, there's lots of books and everything about, you know, different philosophies, give to get, or, you know, paying it forward. But really what it's all about is you want to be helpful, right? You want to find a way to be helpful to the other person before you get to the point where you ask them to do something that's helpful for you. It's simple, right? And how are you helpful? Well, if you're trying to sell a product to an audience, theoretically, you should understand that audience's needs, right? So if you understand their needs, then you should be armed with information that's valuable to those people. And you should be focused when you meet them on trying to understand what their problems are and then provide them some information that's of real value to them. By the time you do that, it can only take a couple of minutes, right? Answering a question or recommending a book or suggesting a website that they could go check out or an app they could download, right? By the time you've done that, you've broken down the most difficult barrier to get through, which is getting somebody from leaning back thinking this person's going to waste my time or they're going to try to get money from me. And you've turned that relationship into one where they're now thinking, wow, this is a good person, this is a good guy or gal, and there's somebody that I'd like to build a relationship with. And that relationship's going to lead to an opportunity to close the sale.
And it's important, as David mentions, to figure out, you know, how do you help your audience? How do you provide value? And provide value is just something that we really hit on again and again. It's like, you know, tip number 10 of like how to get more traffic, provide value. And it's more around what is your audience asking of you, and that is the type of value you provide. And when you do get people to, you know, they see your content, they're engaged, how do we then say to them, like, you know, I've got my coaching or I've got my training course that you might be interested in? Because there is a point where we do have to present the offer, but I do feel like there are a lot of people who they just give out so much free content that they feel uncomfortable making an offer.
Yeah, look, I think that, again, people understand what's going on. I think that's one of the biggest, delusions that we have in business. There's this idea that we're going to sort of hide from people the fact that we're trying to sell them something, okay? People get it. I mean, consumers are sophisticated. They are, in fact, consumers are experts in advertising. Okay, and that's something that we forget. They're experts in advertising, they're experts in sales. I read and delete so many emails in my inbox from people who are trying to sell me stuff, right? And whenever I run across one where they start off the email by saying, I know you're a CEO of a tech startup, and here's a great little resource that'll save you time every day, I stop, right? And I'm like, that's a great hook. These guys get what this is all about. And I read the rest of their email. I look at their product, right? Because they've created value and it's clear that they understand me. So I'm happy. Like, think of it this way, right? If your buddy comes over and says, I'm selling Girl Scout cookies for my daughter, and I've got a box of Thin Mints, will you buy it? Because you're friends, you go, yeah, absolutely, right? I'll buy it, right? Building that relationship means that people are not turned off when you say, I've got a product to sell. Would you be willing to take a look at it and see if it meets your needs?
Yeah, I mean, people do know what's going on, and it's just showing who you are and also thinking about the other person, not thinking about yourself and what you get. The more outward you turn towards the person, less of your own ambitions, then it is easier for you to get what you want while giving other people what they want. And one of the things that a lot of people want is a scenario where they have some clients, and then those clients tell their friends about you, and you get those word of mouth referrals. And I'm wondering if there's a way to increase the likelihood of word of mouth and different ways we can get those types of clients.
Yeah, there's several ways to do it. The first one is to ask for it, right? So one of the crazy things about advertising and marketing and sales, and I teach entrepreneurship classes to young entrepreneurs, and they're always asking, like, how do you raise capital? And what's the secret? And I'm like, the secret is to ask for it, right? There's a point where you have to make the ask, right? You have to say, I'm looking for capital. Would you be interested in writing a check, right? Or if you're looking for referrals, you say to the people that are good, resources or good quality resources for referrals, I'm really looking to grow my business through referrals or word of mouth. Would you be willing to recommend me, right? And I think that when I'm talking to entrepreneurs, one of the concerns that I get back from young entrepreneurs is they're like, well, I just hate being rejected. Okay. I hate asking and then having somebody say no. Okay. But getting no's is the fastest way to get a yes, right? Getting people to say no allows you to say, well, why not? Right. And it might be that they say, well, I really like your concept, but I don't feel like your business plan is really, well thought out. Or I'd like to see, a better strategy for, go to market strategy for your business. But the point is they're telling you now what objections you have to overcome in order to get a yes. And they're the same objections that you're going to have to overcome with other people in the future. So if you say to somebody, hey, would you refer me? And they say, you know what? I really don't feel comfortable referring you because of some reason. You've just learned something that's going to make it easier for you to either overcome that objection in the future or to understand why you shouldn't be asking other people that are similar to that person for referrals, right? Because, I'll give you a story real quick. Early on when we were starting SavvyCard, I was talking to a friend who's a financial advisor, and I was like, would you be willing to make referrals? And he said, well, I can't, it's illegal. Like it's unethical for me to make a recommendation for a startup to my financial clients. Well, if I hadn't asked him that, I might have spent a lot of time trying to build relationships with financial advisors, thinking I was going to get capital referrals or investor referrals from that. And by asking him, I learned really, really quickly that that was not the right way to go about it. So embrace no, right? That's the thing that I would like to say to people. Ask and be happy when you get a no, but follow up and ask why they said no so that you can learn from it.
And rejection is something that so many people do fear. It comes down to rejection, fear of failure. And just hearing that no, as David said, it's not like no, and then that's the end of the conversation. Like there is a lot of insight behind a no, because David, if he didn't ask and he didn't get that no, he didn't proceed to say why, he could have been asking a lot of the wrong people and wasting a lot of his hours, wasting a lot of his money. And, you know, even if, you know, reaching out to people is free and stuff, you have the whole opportunity cost thing. So a lot of hours, a lot of money, a lot of resources, especially time, to doing something that wouldn't have really made sense and panned out. Like it was set up for failure, but because he asked, he knew who to not reach out to, who to cross off the list. And that helped him get more specialized and specific for who he decided to reach out to for the funding.
Yeah. So here's the way I would put this. A yes gets you a sale. A no gets you 10 future sales, right? Because the no tells you how to improve your pitch for the future so that you get less no's, right? If you just get one sale, that's great. But you know, the people who really, really are excellent at sales or fundraising, right, are the ones who embrace the no's. And you said it, right? That can't be the end of the conversation. You've got to lean into the no and be like, I'd really love to know why, right? I'd really love to know what it is about what I'm asking for, my product or you know, my company for investment that makes you not want to say yes, right? And then you learn that. You know, Steve Case talks about you know, startups and you know what he recommends startups do. You know, when you're first starting out and you're trying to build a business, so many people, they build a business plan and then they go right out trying to raise capital, right? And I think many of the best entrepreneurs understand that the first thing you should do is go out and interview customers, right? You've got your thesis for what it is that you're going to sell for your product, right? And the best thing to do is to go out in a structured way and talk to 10 or 20 customers and ask them specific questions, and then to collate that together into, you know, an analysis of what it is they're saying. And when an investor hears that somebody has gone out and done that, or a sales director at a company hears that one of the salespeople has gone out and done a structured sort of an approach to talking to customers and collecting data from them, you know you've got a rock star there and you want to support those people. So no's are great, but you got to follow up.
And I was just thinking about something with me, because I do podcast coaching, help people with the whole launch, grow, monetize their podcast, get different opportunities. A lot of the no's I got revolved around a podcast is a lot of work. So in future pitches, I've said that you just pick one day, you interview 4 people, that's all of your podcast content for the month. And that has worked a lot better. But it was because I said, why not now? Or why does this not work? And I was able to get that insight, and that has allowed me to give people a different perspective around podcasting. Right. And for these relationships, it's not like you're going to meet someone across the street and be like, hey, I have this coaching, you want it? And then first interaction, bam, like they're in. What it is, it's a lot of follow-up. David mentioned this already. It's like, it's a lot of follow-up. It's a lot of back and forth. So how do we build on relationships instead of being like one-off transactions?
Well, okay. So one of the things that I think is really important is relationships are fundamentally about communication. Okay. So you can't have a relationship if you can't communicate. And we have to sort of think about how do people communicate today with people that are important to them. Okay. I don't know about you, but I have something like, I don't know, 10,000 emails in my inbox. Okay. And I've got probably 30 voicemails that I haven't gotten around to and on my phone, you know, going in and listening to and deleting and stuff like that. So the channel that's, you know, obvious to anyone in the world, the channel that's most effective at sort of building an immediate relationship, like a direct relationship with someone, is text messaging. It's the way we interact with people today. It has the advantage of being asynchronous, like email, right? But unlike email, it's not a channel that's been sort of taken over by spammers and so forth yet. And hopefully it never will be, because of some of the laws and regulations that are being put in place. But I think the big thing that's happening with text that's really intriguing to me is top salespeople, right? Top salespeople, the top 0.1%, understand that if you follow up with people by text messaging, you increase the likelihood you're going to close business with them by an order of magnitude, by hundreds of percent. Okay. And it's really fascinating. The data shows that if you text people without getting their permission first, it actually reduces the likelihood that you're ever going to get a sale from them. Because when you text somebody without their permission, you're invading their space in a very personal way. And they remember that, right? They associate with that with you moving forward. But if you ask them, if you just say, can I text you and follow up with you later, right? And they say yes, then, you know, you've been given permission to start a conversation with them by text messaging, right? That's one of the things we teach at SavvyCard. The old mode of handing out a business card or connecting with people on LinkedIn or whatever it is, those modes, or sending them an email, those modes are not as effective as starting a conversation, as continuing a conversation that you're having real time with somebody in text. And then the first thing you want to do when you follow up with them by text is provide value, right? And we live in a world today where it's easy to do that, right? So, you know, if you're talking to somebody and you learn that they're interested in something related to your business, then you can follow up with text by text after you've gotten permission to message them, and you can provide them a link to a video or an article or anything and say, I thought you might enjoy this or it might be valuable to you, right? And so that's how you build relationships today with people that you meet that ultimately turn into sales.
We've got more great content coming up, but first we have a message from the sponsor of this episode. Want to learn what goes into building a successful mindset? My friend Ryan Gottfredson has a free assessment that will help you discover what mindset you have and how it will drive you to success. So if you are someone who wants to develop a stronger mindset and improve on your successes, your breakthroughs, your achievements, make sure you go over to Ryan's site, which will be in the show notes of this episode. And also be sure to get your copy of his book, Success Mindsets, which is available in audiobook and ebook formats. That link and more will be available in the show notes. But if you want that cutting edge mindset, Ryan is your guy. And you can learn more about him at ryangottfredson.com. Anyways, let's jump right back into the episode.
Yeah, and texting is such a great way of communicating. It's one of those, like, you know, if great power comes great responsibility, because that's as right. David mentions, if I were to text you listening to this episode right now without permission, and this is the first time you're listening to this episode and you're not really into my content and you walk away or whatever, and I text you, it's like, why is this guy texting me? But it's like, if a relationship builds, then you do want to move to text. Like, if there's a, like, there was a scenario where I had to be at a Facebook Live for someone because that person was interviewing me. And there was like short window for it to happen. So I said, how about we just exchange phone numbers? You text me, because people respond to text far quicker than email. So if there's like a really close deadline, I know I need to say, text me, here's my number, instead of hoping I get to it in my email and then looking at it a week later, be like, missed it. So it's just one of those things. Like, texting is that next level of communication, and not everyone will be like, you know, sometimes you do need the LinkedIn, the email, but texting is that next level, as David mentions.
Well, all the other stuff supports it, right? You know, LinkedIn, email, social media, all of that stuff supports it. But, you know, I'll give you an example. Okay. We have a real estate product that we sell to real estate associations and multiple listing services. And so the CEO of one of these organizations is, it's an enterprise sale. That is tough to get, you know, to get connected with these people. And just like any enterprise sale or any big business, they have gatekeepers. They've got people that sort of, their job is to keep them from, you know, getting, you know, 100 vendors calling them every month. Okay. So getting through those gatekeepers so that you can start a personal conversation with the CEO of one of these associations is very difficult, right? So we teach a strategy we call share in text that utilizes our SavvyCard platform, and it's really powerful. So I was at a trade show a couple of months ago, and I got introduced to the CEO of one of the largest MLSs in the United States, one of the largest multiple listing services in the United States. Tens of thousands of realtors, right? So a big potential client for us. And it was one of those things where it was, you know, I was just introduced and he was heading one way and I was heading another way. And it would have been really difficult and strange to try to stop him and, you know, have a, extend the conversation. So what I needed to do was I needed to get an opportunity to continue to have the conversation, even though we were headed in different directions, right? So he said, can I get your business card? And I said, can I text my card to you and follow up with you later, right? And he was like, sure. And I asked him his mobile number and texted him my Savvy card. And when I did that, I'm now in a conversation with him. And like 2 minutes later, I said, oh, here's an article that I just, you know, I just read that I thought might be interesting to you about, you know, how big MLSs are improving realtors' lives. And the bottom line was within a week, this guy was my buddy. I was talking to him like regularly. Mm-hmm. And so it just made the opportunity where normally we would have passed business cards and I would have hoped that he would call me, or I'd call on Monday morning and get his secretary and then struggle to, you know, to find a way to connect with him. I connected with him immediately in real time and provided value, and it created an opportunity for a sale, which we closed.
Yeah, that's a really awesome example. And with texting, I was thinking about it. No one really wants to see that they have unread texts. I mean, with email, you can just mark all messages as read, and I'm sure you could do something like that with texting. But just the idea of going through all of your texts, making sure you reply to all loose ends, and it's just something that creates a different kind of interaction, and definitely something that Dave has been advocating for, and I've seen a lot of success as well. And for people who want to learn more about you, David, where are some good places we go to follow your work and journey?
Well, I mean, I did a TEDx talk on the trust economy, which if people are interested in taking a look at that, you know, I'm really passionate about the trust economy. I think one of the things that technology is going to enable in the future is we're going to have a transparent ecosystem where I'm going to be able to refer people and we're going to be able to see the results of those referrals. Like, you know, if I refer somebody to, you know, sponsor your podcast, for example, and they have a great experience and it's really valuable for them. Today, I'm like, unless they pick up the phone and call me a year later and say, wow, thank you for the referral, they might not even remember that I referred them, right? So there's the triangle of trust, which is I refer somebody to you. There needs to be communication between all three corners of the triangle, and there isn't today, right? Word of mouth and referrals are the most powerful and valuable way to get business, and yet we can't really track and provide, you know, value to the person who made the referral, and the person who made the referral doesn't know whether or not the referral actually ended up being, you know, closing business or being a good experience for either of the other parties, right? So in the trust economy speech, I talk a little bit about what would it look like in a world where there was transparency in those types of referrals, right? And I think we're going to get there. Somebody's going to solve that. And it'll be a situation where you refer other people business. And if it's a good experience, you get paid, you get compensated for it, right? Because you're creating value. And blockchain and distributed ledgers and some of the modern technologies will enable all of this stuff. So it's pretty cool. But check out my TEDx talk. But the other thing is, you know, come check out our website, savvycard.com, which is our business. And a lot of people go there and they think, oh, it's digital business cards, which Savvy Cards can be used in that way. But we're really creating a personal application for any person in the world. And it can be used as a business card. It can be used as a landing page for your company, We're rolling out a new products button this week. So somebody who has a store on Etsy selling jewelry will be able to have a SavvyCard app where they have all their products linked in there. It's a really cool sort of multifunctional marketing tool that people can use for all kinds of crazy stuff. So, come check it out. And if you want to contact me directly, you can search my name on Google. My SavvyCard comes up number one on Google, and just reach out and let me know what you think of our product.
David, I mean, I just love how technology continues to evolve. There's still problems out there for us to solve, and all those links will be in the show notes. But once again, thank you so much for coming on Breakthrough Success. It was such a pleasure to have you here today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.